Phil Jackson's a racist, and upset Saturday in college football shakes up the rankings, and NFL goes south of the border before Trump's wall is built. But most importantly, we have a special guest tonight, songwriter extraordinaire A-Rod. All this and more up next on Sports Weekly.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly. I
said a nigga got some plans. Well, jamming to A-Rod. What's the name of the song, A-Rod?
It's called The Script.
The Script.
Yeah. Script.
Is it a new song?
Yes.
Hi.
It's a new song.
We have a guest, and our guest is Insta-storing. Is it Insta-story or Snapchat?
This is a snap, right?
This is Snapchat.
Snapchat,
okay.
Yeah, this is a snap.
See, our guest likes to bring the social media to the actual live show. But we like that because we never do
live.
That. All the way live. You guys are watching Sports Weekly every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Your favorite sports squad in the world. We know that you're taking a break from that awful Thursday night football game to watch us. Thank you. We appreciate that. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Instagram, InstaStory, and on Twitter at Erica Renee D.
What's up, y'all? You can find me on all those same platforms that Erica is on, at JJ the Talented.
What's up, guys? I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez. And to the left of me, he's written for Ariana Grande, Omarion, Tamar Braxton, Fantasia, many more.
Yes.
And now he's the lead singer of Av Da Vinci.
Yes.
Alshon Lambert, A-Rod.
Hey, once again, my name is A-Rod, and I'm a songwriter, artist, and I'm on all social media platforms under Welcome to the Av.
All right, guys, and as always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online and follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. Now, before we get into our show today, we gotta pick A-Rod's brain because you've written for Ariana Grande, Omarion, and you've written some pretty major hits. So tell us about how you got started in the industry as a songwriter.
Well, it all started in church. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't it always.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
In a little town called Newark, New Jersey. Shout out to Brick City.
Okay.
Whitney Houston's hometown.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So it started there, and I've done music my whole life in church, and I've written songs and stuff like that. So I've always had a knack for it. Then I went to college, did the whole college thing, graduated. Actually was working for the college in admissions, and I quit.
You quit college or you
quit? Quit working, for the college as an admissions counselor.
So you were working
Sorry, Bloomfield.
After graduating, you were still working for the college?
Yeah. Okay. So I graduated, and I was working for the college in admissions. 2010, I quit. Came out here to California, working with the producer, Eric Hudson. He was working on Jamie Foxx's album. Mm-hmm. And the first time I got off the plane, went into the studio, and there was Jamie Foxx. Ended up having 3 songs on his album, and that's how my professional career started.
What 3 songs on his album? And which album was it?
It was called The Best Night of My Life.
Okay.
Yeah, it was his 3rd album, I believe. And I did the intro to the album, and I did Sleeping Pill, and co-wrote with them this song called, Jesus Christ, it's been so long, 2010, right? It seemed like it's been long. But this song called After It's All Said and Done. Yeah, so that's the beginning of the professional career. I started trying to be a writer in 2007, so from 07 to 2010 was the sleeping in the studio, getting up, going to work, and hustling and bustling and trying to get into it. And, you know, thankfully it worked out.
So I was going to say, because between 2007 and 2010, you had to have had something that would, you know, that you could have sent out to enable you to, like, get off the plane, go straight to the studio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You had some kind of either following
was,
or
my cousin Drew, who was working with Eric Hudson.
Drew, like from Drew Hill?
Yeah. Well, yeah, Drew, hit Drew.
Well, I mean like Drew, like Cisco Drew Hill, but no.
No.
Drew like an Andrew?
Yeah, Andrew.
Andrew.
So it was him, and what he did was he was working with Eric Hudson, and he knew I was grinding, and I was trying to get on with my boys, Kaz and Wayne. Shout out, Kaz and Wayne. I do a whole lot of shout outs, because I feel like if
it's
I ever have a platform, then everybody got a platform,
I like
and I got
it.
Like a list
as long
of people.
Retweet us.
So yeah, retweet Black Hollywood Live. So, you know, we was grinding and trying to get on, so Eric took a chance, and he's like, you know, come write some songs with me. So I went to this house and wrote songs, and wrote for like 3 years with him, and you know, was you know how it is. You're promised your break, and it's like, yeah, man, we're gonna send this out, we're gonna do this, and this is gonna happen. And it's like, oh, yeah, we right here, and I'm about to go get this car. And no, he wasn't about to get nothing for 3 years, and it was just like, you know, a steady grind. And thankfully, he had some pull with the Jamie Foxx situation. He was like, I got a writer, I came, and that day, nobody was in the studio. No other songwriters were there, and Jamie was usually surrounded by a bunch of writers. Mm-hmm. But this particular day that I showed up, nobody was there, you know? So I walked in there, and actually his godson was like, oh, man, he having trouble trying to fix these words up. Yeah. And you write, right? And I'm like, me? I do write. He was like, hey, Fox, press the button. Man, Eric's friend right here, A-Rod, he's a writer. You want him to help you? And Jamie was like, come on, man. I've been sitting here this whole time. So I was like, okay. So within 30 minutes, I'm feeding him lines, and we going back and forth. And he told me to come back the next day, and I've been in L.A. ever since.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. So then the checks start coming in, right?
Man, no.
because you hear about the
life. I still want my check.
I was going to say, because you hear about the life of writers, whether you know, they're script writers or songwriters, that sometimes the music in the entertainment industry can be a little shady. Not saying that your situation was shady, but, you know, it's, I mean, no, not your situation was the antithesis of shady. But have there been times where you didn't get the credit you were supposed to get or didn't get the check you were supposed to
get? You know, I've had some times where the trees was out, you know, and it was a little shady going on.
Okay.
I've always, and this has been like who I've been my whole life, I've always been like a fighter. Mm-hmm. And I've always stood my ground, and I've always known like whose I was and who I was. I wasn't letting it ride. And like earlier on in my career, somebody threatened me like they're going to blackball me. Like,
don't
go against this particular artist because they wasn't trying to give me my credit because, you know, they'll make sure you'll never be anything in this industry. And I'm like, well, guess what? If I'm never ending in this industry, I'm going to go back and teach. I got a degree.
You got a degree. Yeah.
I made it already in that aspect. So this is, I don't have to do this, but you will respect me and you will give me what I'm owed.
Yeah.
And I stood my ground and I got my percentage.
Got it.
Okay.
And
then, I like that.
Yeah, and I'm still here. Thanks to God, you know. So
yeah, cool.
Sports affiliations,
man.
Who do you like? Are you a Jets fan? Giants fan?
I am struggling.
What is it?
Eagles fan.
Eagles.
I feel like I like the teams that piss you off the most.
Okay.
The Eagles.
Al, you're an Eagles fan too.
Well, my fiance's from Delaware, so okay, LA, okay. So I have to root for them.
You know. And the Mets. I like the Mets. I like the Eagles. Sports, as far as basketball, I never really had a basketball team. I like Shaquille O'Neal. Uh-huh. So when I was little, I liked the Orlando Magic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then I liked the Lakers. And then he started going all these other places.
Phoenix.
I wasn't going to go with him to Phoenix. I was Miami. Like, I can't go with you to Phoenix. I can go to Miami. So I ended up liking Miami for a while before LeBron came there. And I still liked them after LeBron came there, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know? So I liked them for a while, and then when LeBron left, I left.
Right.
He took his talents to Cleveland, and I took my talents to nowhere.
To nowhere.
Until I could figure out who I like. So basketball, I'm not really sure who I like right now. But
okay.
Go Eagles.
Go Eagles. We're
going to figure it out. We trying.
Nah, you're not.
Nah, you're not. Well.
Okay, so... You're into sports, politics, so we have you're on the hot seat.
I got it.
And I mean, you are a part of the crew tonight. So
yes, and I'm honored to be here.
Listen, we're honored to have you. I want to ask you: have you ever met Whitney or Sissy? Or
I did meet Whitney. You know what's the craziest thing? I met Whitney Houston the day before she passed away.
Man, you
at the club at True?
Really, I didn't know
were
that.
You at True that night?
Yeah, that Thursday. Well, she passed away, I think Saturday.
Saturday.
So I met her that Thursday night. When she was, we were all in there in the little VIP area, and then she was leaving, and she was like, they don't know who we are. We from Jersey.
Right.
North, East Orange, turning up, because Faith Evans was there. She's from North. So she's like, we was all turning up with Jersey, and it was just like this great time. And then, that happened. So that was crazy. That was devastating.
What were you doing in the club, man? Being a wingman? We know you have some celebrity hookup stories.
Right.
I've played a nice little wingman position in my life.
Because as we were talking, you've hooked up Ariana Grande with a couple of guys in her life.
What's
the connection?
Tell the people out there the story, because you told us off air, but we got to put this on the record, how you were Ariana Grande's wingman.
It's kind of by happenstance. I don't know if I was her wingman. I don't know if I was the guy's wingman, but pretty much I had the pleasure of co-writing The Way for Ariana Grande featuring Mac Miller, right? So when Ariana got the song. She came and she heard the song. She loved it. And she was like, we need to get a rap. And this is why I tell people, Ariana is a boss. She took the song to Mac Miller, and he recorded it at his house. And she did the session. Like, she engineered the session.
Really?
Right? So they were on this song together, and I don't know if you've ever seen that video, but they kiss at the end of the video and all of this type of stuff. Okay. And she had another boyfriend at the time, but, you know, I guess it was on screen. It wasn't nothing serious. So they kissed at the end of the video, and I think he was feeling her back then. But, like, years later, after she ended up, you know, with Big Sean, which was on the second record that I did with her, called Right There, which was featuring Big Sean, and then they started.
How does Right There go? That was a radio hit, wasn't it?
Yeah. You should know I'm never gonna change. I'm never gonna be the same. Mm-hmm. You call for me, I'm right there. Yeah.
Okay.
So they were on that song together, and then next thing you know, they was going together, and then now she back with Mac Miller. So it's kind of, I feel like if anybody gets married, I need a plus one and an invite.
I agree.
If you're watching.
I agree. And a shout out in the vows.
Big Sean and Mac Miller.
Somebody help me out. Mm.
All right. Well, college football. I don't know how into college football you are. Are you? Okay.
I watch it somewhat. You know, on Saturdays if I'm at the barbershop.
Okay.
I watch some college football.
It's okay. I'm the only
one who's more exciting now, though.
Yeah, that's all you, Eric.
To me, it's more exciting now that it has that playoff system, because before it had, like, a bunch of, like, people who, like, just do sports columns and stuff, and they get to pick who's going to the championship. It's always dumb to me. It's like, why did they end up?
A lot of sports awards and rankings are determined that way.
By the writers, like the MLB, like the Writers Association. There was this huge upset last night. I mean, you are a huge baseball enthusiast.
Yeah.
With Kate Upton going off because Verlander got all those first place votes but didn't win.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it used to be with college football, too. Yeah. Like the BCS had the writers, and then it had the computers. But now the college football playoff system is a little bit different. And basically last Saturday, five of the top nine teams lost. And three of the top five teams lost. And that's the very first time that's happened since 1985. Michigan lost to Iowa. Clemson lost to Pittsburgh. Who else lost? Washington lost to USC. And so in this system, the college football playoff committee basically had an opportunity to drop those teams out of the top 10, or they could keep them where they were, and they basically kept them where they were. There was a little bit of a shuffling going on. But the top five teams now, after last week's melee in the college football playoff, I mean, college football upset Saturdays, Bama's still number one, undefeated, 10-0. Ohio State has one loss. They are number two. Michigan lost to Iowa last week. They're number three. Clemson lost to Pittsburgh last week. They're number four. Louisville lost to Clemson a long time ago. And so they're number five. So just really quickly, because I know, you know, I could talk about college football all day.
No one else wants to.
It's
all you.
Considering those losses last week by Washington, Michigan, and Clemson, would your top five look similar or different to how the CFP has it?
I'm going to say this. I mean, I don't follow college football that much, but Washington got killed by USC, right? And USC's pretty good, am I right?
Yeah, well, USC started off really, really slow this year, but now they are the hot team. Like, if you ask any analyst, any sports host, they will tell you that, yes, they start off very sluggish, but now USC is one of the scariest teams.
So how come USC can't be in that top five, top six area?
And I think that's a good point.
That's what the problem is, the argument is right now?
Well, USC
should. What is USC's record right now?
Well, they're 7-3, so they're
three games?
They're a three-loss team. But go ahead, Rod.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it seems like Alabama is killing everybody.
Always.
So, what's that? Roll Tide, right?
There you go.
But I feel like everyone knows that. I mean, I don't even watch college football, and I think I know that Alabama is by far the best college football team in the country. And from what I know, no one can beat Bama. Am I right on that? Ohio State's close.
Roll Tide.
No.
Michigan have a shot?
Well, okay, so with the top four. So, right now, the top four, Bama, Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson. So, considering that each of those teams would advance to their conference championships and win their conference championships, if the rankings stayed like they are, Bama would play Clemson, Ohio State would play Michigan.
That's a good game.
But so that's like right now, if it ended today, that's what would happen. And I don't think Clemson could beat Bama. But before, because I don't want to belabor this point, I want to know, do you guys think the playoff should be a 14 playoff, or should it expand to an 18 playoff?
Oh, it's got to be 18. Because four teams is not enough to determine a college playoff when you have how many, 200-something, 300 teams? in all of college football. Not saying that they all should make it.
Yeah.
But you have we're talking about a top five and a top ten. So let's at least make the playoff eight, and because four is just too little slots, right?
I completely agree with that. Actually, I don't know if I want to take it a step further and say 16.
Some people argue
let's
16.
Let's do it. I don't know if it should let's be 16. Let's do it. 16.
There's so many teams.
A lot.
In college basketball, we do it, right?
We have 16.
We have a field of 68. Yeah. For
I mean, how would you schedule that? Would they all play on the same Saturday?
Pretty much that same weekend they start. Or you can do, 12 and have four have a bye or something like that?
The top four have a bye.
Yeah, something
the
like
top
that.
Four, okay, like NFL kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that would be better.
I like that one.
My thing is with in a perfect world, college football could emulate college basketball and have a field of 16,
which you can't, because
football is so much more intense and so much more physical. And you would have to give these kids off days. Like, you couldn't have them playing a game on a Monday and a game on a Wednesday.
Jesus.
And they don't get paid.
You couldn't give them two games in a week in college football?
I don't know. You couldn't give those kids.
That's tough.
Isn't bowl season like a month and a half?
It is a month. It is a month and a half.
So just stretch it.
I see where you're going with that.
Stretch it out. You don't have to play every week. Just play every other week and you'll still have the same amount of time as bowl season is already.
Yeah. I don't know. I disagree because there's already... The problem already exists with academics being like having to suffer because the extra games, the bowl game. First of all, you have your championship game. Like if you play in a conference that has a championship game, so you have that game, and then you have your bowl game, and then if you are top four, then you have a playoff game, and then if you win your top four matchup, then you have like your another bowl game. So I just think logistically there will never be a perfect scenario whether it's 8 or 16 or whether it stays at 4. I think that college basketball has it figured out.
Yeah.
But I mean, we can't have a field of 68 football teams.
Outside of the top four, though, there are so many other good teams that could give that top four a run.
Yes, Louisville. I know they have
Louisville's getting their asses handed to them right now.
Really? Are they
by Houston?
And they're not in my top five.
Is he in the running for the Heisman?
Well, he was. I don't know about tonight. Though,
come on, bro.
But you still got us.
I had all my money
check that
on you.
Score.
This is another beef that I have with college football. If you win your conference, it doesn't mean anything, depending on what conference you're in.
Yeah,
like the winner of the ACC conference is not going to
automatically go and get a bid for the playoff.
But they could though, because right now Louisville and Clemson are both in the ACC.
Okay,
so
that's just I just named so and so conference. Yeah, but there's going to be a conference champion that has no shot of winning the championship, and that's ridiculous to me.
It depends on the competitiveness of your conference, though.
I get
in the schools that are in your conference. Yeah. Like if your conference sucks. I don't know if you should have a chance to win the championship.
The major conferences, I'm talking SEC, the two SECs. I mean, I know the East is a joke right now, but then you have ACC, Big Ten.
So you have Big Ten, SEC, ACC, Pac-12, and Big 12. But Big 12 doesn't have a championship right now because actually there are only 10 teams in the Big 12 right now. So you only have four of the Power Five that actually have championship games within the conference.
And you don't think they each deserve a spot in a playoff system at least? I mean, what's the point of playing this whole conference schedule if you're just going to win a conference championship and go to a bowl game that's the equivalent of a participation trophy?
I mean, that's...
No! It's the people that I've played the most in the season, I'm the champion of the people that we usually play.
But that's great.
But you deserve some kind of national recognition too if you could earn it.
But it's like in my weight class.
what if they made it that thing? What if they made some kind of tiered system with major conferences, mid-major, and on down?
Like, there is a tiered system, essentially. And I think that what happens, like, if you're in a Power 5 conference, if you're SEC, Pac-10, Pac-12, Big 10, ACC, then we have just accepted that that's just the law of the land.
Yeah,
right. But what if you can get some smaller schools that can beat those teams and earn their way into
and
that?
Sometimes you have the Boise States and... Right. You know, the teams who do.
Houston or something like that.
I want to see Grambling in there or something. Who got a band?
So I say keep it at 14. What do you say?
I say make it 8, 12, 16.
I like 12.
What do you say?
I think 12 sounds cool because the top four get to take a little break. Yeah. Everybody else battle it out and then we figure it out.
NFL style. Okay, Josh, you go ahead. Big deal or no big deal?
Yeah, I'm down with that. Big deal or no big deal. So as we know, there's been a big shakeup in the White House lately.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not talking about Donald Trump per se. I'm talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers making their championship trek to the White House to visit the White House and President Obama. Mm-hmm. The night before, Richard Jefferson of the Cavaliers did make a Snapchat little note, and he said, not a note, but it's a snap. He said, Words cannot express the honor I feel being the last team to visit the White House. Mm. So it gave connotation that perhaps should when Trump takes the White House and occupies the White House, that maybe other teams would choose to forego that championship visit to the White House.
No way.
You know, wait, no way? Well, you know, it's like team, even if the team decides to go, it's each individual player's decision to go or to not go.
Because I believe somebody Tim didn't Thomas. Go. Yeah. While Obama was there.
Yeah, Tim Thomas, goalie of the Boston Bruins, I remember he did that.
Tom Brady, 2011.
Tom Brady's ass. You know what?
Watch your Tom Brady.
No, not 2011, but Tom Brady. Even the James Harrison.
He was somewhere.
Yeah, James Harrison.
He was somewhere deflating the ball. Tom Brady.
He decided not to go. So you can have the choice. But we're talking about NBA, though, only, which is a majority black league.
Yes.
Do you think that they would not go in?
It's
in,
the White House. They're
but
going
you're going to go shake
House.
Trump's hand, give him the jersey with his name on the back,
yeah.
do a little glad handing and smiling with him
Listen,
in the picture.
LeBron is going to have his behind in the White House with Trump. Like,
you think
I
so?
Don't know.
You think
I,
so?
Absolutely.
Look, so they asked him that. They asked him
absolutely.
His response. If he would visit a Trump-occupied White House, and LeBron said, I don't know. That's something that we'll have to cross when we get there.
And if he didn't want to, if it wasn't a possibility, this is why I say he will do it, he just would say, no, I'm not going. Like, I got an uncle, right? If I got an uncle I don't like, and they're like, you going over Uncle Ronnie house for Thanksgiving? Hell no, I ain't going over Uncle Ronnie house. Not, I'll wait till the day before Thanksgiving and see what my grandmother cooking. No, if I don't want to go, I'm not going to go. LeBron will go because LeBron is a statesman. I think he's a bigger person than to not show up. And honestly, I mean, Lord knows that I didn't want Trump to win, but you don't even know what he's going to do yet. Like,
that's
let him
true.
Get in there, let him figure it out, you know. And who knows they're going to win. LeBron might not go because he might not
he
be
might
going.
Not win.
You have a point there. But let's say LeBron didn't go. Would that affect your view of LeBron James?
No.
No?
Because I think
would that
I
color
understand.
America's view? Could he afford to do that PR-wise?
Listen, anything we do is like, we're walking on eggshells no matter what. Like, my man took a knee.
Yeah.
And, like, they want to kill him. You know what I'm saying? So anything that we do, I don't even think LeBron or any of us should worry about what America thinks about us.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because they're going to hate regardless. If you do good things, they still be hating. You know what I'm saying? Beyonce was on the Country Music Awards, killed her performance.
She did.
And then she got a lot of racist hate in the
country greats.
Exactly. So it's like, no. If he goes, he goes. If he doesn't, he doesn't. I believe he'll go, though.
I don't know. I think that post-election, all of us are still very emotional.
Yeah.
And so for Richard Jefferson and for LeBron to not say emphatically that they would go, I think that's an emotional reply. Because we're a week out, a week and a half out, and everyone's still feeling very emo.
Yeah.
I honestly, like, I'm on this whole kick of, I think we should, you know, be supportive of Trump's administration. I think I'm not quite there yet, but if they chose not to go, I would totally understand it. Because here's the thing: like, people who voted for Trump for some reason think he's not a politician. Like, y'all been brainwashed to think he's not a politician.
He has all the characteristics of a politician.
Thank you. That's a conversation for another show.
Yeah.
But politicians lie; they pander to bases to get elected. And I think that Trump pandered to people who rebuke multiculturalism and who adhere to white supremacy. And I think he preached a campaign of hate and misogyny and xenophobia and racism. But that rhetoric that he campaigned on might not be the same rhetoric that he actually leads with. So if he goes in a different direction as a president, then I would say teams go to the White House. But even if he does go a positive direction, because he got to where he is with the hateful rhetoric that he used, I could understand why a team would say, peace out, like the Grizzlies, you know, the Grizzlies and the Milwaukee Bucks and the Mavericks have all disassociated themselves with staying at Trump-affiliated hotels when they travel now.
Nice hotel.
Nice hotels. So
it was.
So people have the right to disassociate themselves from that hateful rhetoric, even though he was going to drain the swamp. The swamp is full of people, and his cabinet is full of people who are swamp dwellers.
Swamp dwellers, yeah.
So I don't know. I'm straddling the fence. In other words,
maybe did he pull the wool over everyone's eyes?
I think he pulled the wool over his supporters' eyes the most.
Because like, did he just pull the biggest
trick
and fake everybody?
First of all, what he did, I don't like him. I don't like his supporters, but what he did was so gangster.
Gangster.
What he did was crazy.
J-Rod, you're quiet over there. Why are you so quiet?
I'm just listening to you guys talk.
I got a Muhammad Ali shirt on right now. And what Trump did was, like, shock the world. Like, the dude laying down is Hillary Clinton. And that's Trump.
Oh, man.
It's like, he spanked her, and it was crazy. But I don't think that... he's going to do a lot of the things that he said he's going to. He's already going back on stuff. My question to you guys, though, is if he invited y'all to the White House, are y'all going?
I wouldn't go.
At this point, I couldn't go.
I personally wouldn't go.
I'm going to the White House.
You are?
I've never been. I want
to
check it
I'm
out.
I'm going to the White House.
The front gate. If I can get in that gate, y'all, I'm checking it out.
Wait, hey, listen, if I'm Donald Trump personally invited you today, you would go to the White House to see Donald Trump.
Hey, bro, yeah.
If I was in the position to have Donald Trump invite me anywhere.
I'm eating the food. I'm drinking the drinks. I'm standing on the couches. And then I'm leaving.
Thank you.
Because they probably going to throw
Albertus
me.
I don't know Magnus, why y'all wouldn't. I'll Albertus take... Magnus class of 2005 took a field trip there.
Inside?
You can follow my snaps, brother, because I'm in that
White I never went to the White House. What school was that again?
Albertus Magnus High School, Bardonia, New York.
Well, Dr. Martin Luther King in Newark, New Jersey never would have went to the
now,
White House.
Now, here's my thing. I understand like, being supportive of the president, but I'm not supportive of the message that he brought forth to the country. So, for me, I get... the people who say, let's support the president, let's hope he does well. Yeah, let's hope he does well, let's just say economically. But if he does well in his supporters' eyes from what they want from him, we're not going to like the country that we're going to be living in. I don't want him to change this country in a way that's going backwards, which I think his rhetoric was doing.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to support him in certain areas.
My phone's blowing up right now.
Is it really?
Yeah. I do hope that this country does get better and move forward. But I just... you know, under what he was saying, I don't see it happening.
The country, I think, will make it. We made it through Bush. 8 years of crazy
Bush. I'm not going to swing all the way
I don't think
Bush... you can't get away with all that.
See, I think the difference between a Trump presidency and a Bush or a W presidency is that maybe the Bushes have the same racist values that Trump does. I mean, they're Texans. Like, they're old white money from Texas. It's fair to say they might have those same beliefs. But the difference is having that belief and then having a leader who makes you feel empowered to act out on those beliefs.
Exactly. And I don't want to enable that at all whatsoever.
So.
Well, let me beat Kanye to it. Donald Trump doesn't care about black people.
Oh, man.
I don't want to beat him to that.
Back to the sports side of it, though.
Right.
Is that a big deal or no big deal, the fact that these teams may not go visit the White House?
I think it's not a big deal
because I think it's just like talk. If they actually don't go, it's a big deal. But if they go, then it was like, oh, all right, it was nothing. It's something he put on Snapchat. They ain't do no like press conference like we're not going to the White House. So I don't think it was a big deal.
Well, it's a big deal if a half the team doesn't go. Even if one or two people don't go, it's a big deal.
Yeah,
and I think right now, if a team were to go to the White House, at least half of the team would not go.
I think that's a big deal. You got to be the whole team or no team at all, I think, if you're going to do that.
I mean,
I think that it'll give people a chance to say, hey, look at those black people who aren't being good
sports. Well, let me say this. We're talking about people who put on T-shirts that said, I can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of putting on T-shirts, I don't know how much they really did to really stand for something. It's not a lot of people who are willing to take that knee like Kaepernick did or even do something more like, all right, I'll boycott, like I'm not playing today until something changes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about people who just talk.
See, I disagree with you.
I don't know how serious it is.
And let me say this. I think that there always could be more action. There can always be more done. There can always be more rich, influential people reaching back and doing more, being better. But I think that there's this narrative in the black community that we don't do enough. When actually, I might wear a T-shirt, but Brandon Marshall actually is meeting with, officials in Denver on his off days on Tuesdays to get sensitivity training to help white officers in Denver learn to be more sensitive to black people's needs. And then you have Colin Kaepernick who took the knee, and now the owners of the 49ers are donating millions of dollars to organizations in San Francisco that are teaching sensitivity training for white officers and in ethnic communities. I mean, I could go on and on. like, my sister always clowns on Beyonce for just being a booty shaker and a leotard. But I'm like, Beyonce gives a lot of money to the impoverished communities in Texas and in Louisiana where her parents and where she is, where she's from.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people who are wearing t-shirts, but there are also a lot of people who wear t-shirts whose storylines we don't see every day because the mainstream media doesn't report on those storylines. And a lot of these athletes aren't going to toot their own horn and be like, oh, look what I did. But they know where they're, first of all, it's a write-off. Like, you give money back and you write that thing off. So all I'm trying to say is that, yeah, there are people who are apathetic who will wear the t-shirt and not actually have, you know, and be active. But then there are a lot of people who are actively wearing the shirts and then giving back.
Yeah. I guess my thing is, I just want to know how about it you are.
Okay, we'll see.
You really about it? Or not.
Because
you know what I'm saying?
Because
right now you're saying, oh, I'm
all right, but if you're really bad at it, then you're not going to the White House.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well,
so we'll see.
So then you're not bad at it.
First thing.
Exactly. Because you said you were
going to the White House. Oh, I want to go to the White House to go to the White House to see what's in there,
he's
what's
not
going
about
on.
It. He's
first
not
of
about
all,
it.
And secondly, this is my thing. Going to the White House don't mean you support Trump. Just like going to the White House didn't mean somebody supported Obama. Many people go many places.
That's
true.
That's,
you know what I'm saying?
True.
The,
yeah, that's
the same guy I just quoted with Kanye West, who said he don't care about black people, was at the opening of the African American Museum, George Bush. So it doesn't matter. It's not going somewhere doesn't mean that you support the person that's in it. It means I understand that this place is historic. I understand that everybody doesn't get a chance to go inside of these walls, and especially people who look like me, especially people who come from where I come from.
There are a lot of people who look like
so
us. So
where I want to, so you know what I'm saying? I don't know a lot of people from Newark, New Jersey that get to go anywhere to nobody's house.
Right.
You're funny. Especially the White House. So,
so
I
big deal
go.
For you.
I say big deal.
Big deal for you.
It's not, I don't think it's
no big deal.
No big deal.
Do your posse. My posse's on Broadway.
Yeah, so this is another one. Okay, so in a statement, Phil Jackson made a statement that he used the word posse that people are up in arms about. I want to bring the statement up. Can I read this?
Mm-hmm.
I want to read it. Give it its context. Let me make sure I find it. Did I lose it? Do I have it? Do you guys have the statement? Here, I got it.
Oh, you got it? Phil Jackson, what he said about LeBron and his friends back in 2004, before LeBron was LeBron, when he was still a man-child.
It's a little lengthy, but he was being interviewed by a magazine columnist, and then he was talking about a conversation he had with Pat Riley about LeBron, and he says, it had hurt. When they lost LeBron, Jackson said, that was definitely a slap in the face, but there was a lot of little things that came out of that. When LeBron was playing with the Heat, they went to Cleveland and he wanted to spend the night. They don't do overnights. Teams just don't do it. So now Coach Eric Spoelstra has to text Riley and say, what do I do in this situation? And Pat Riley, who has iron fist rules, answers, you are on the plane, you are with this team. So Jackson says, you can't hold up the whole team because you and your mom and your posse want to spend an extra night in Cleveland. Now, Maverick Carter, who was in LeBron James's posse, along with LeBron James's posse.
Childhood friends from the hood.
Maverick Carter took exception to that, and he tweeted a tweet that said, you know, in this day and age, we're still being called posse, even though we've made it this far. That wasn't a quote verbatim, but it was in those, you know, around the same thing. We've made it this far, and they're still referring to us as posse. LeBron James came back and made a statement about that, and he says that he had respect for Phil Jackson as a coach. But now he has nothing for Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
It's a shame that young African Americans have to be referred to in 2006 as that term,
16.
Posse. 2016, sorry.
It's okay.
Have to be referred to as a posse. It's unfortunate he said that young African Americans have to be referred to as a posse. So LeBron James, it seems like he made it a race issue where it wasn't before. This is just my opinion. But what do you guys think? Is Phil Jackson, using the word posse, is he a racist?
I personally don't know if Phil Jackson is a racist. I don't think he is. And I don't even know if LeBron was necessarily making it a race thing. More so than just being offended that Phil Jackson would try to delegitimize, you know what I'm saying, his friends that have built this empire.
But
with
I think he did make it a race thing. I think he talked about black. I think
he threw
in black.
I think he did. He might have.
He did. He said, it just sucks now at this point, having one of the biggest businesses you can have both on and off the floor, having a certified agent in Rich Paul, having a certified business partner in Maverick Carter that's done so many great business deals, that the title for young African Americans is the word posse.
So he did make it a race thing, but I still think it's more so that Phil Jackson more so was not looking at them as successful businessmen, Right?
And but I don't why, know. But why though?
Why would
Maverick? I don't know if Phil Jackson would look at a young white kid, a successful businessman, and not say, oh, him and his crew or him and his whatever. And I don't think the word posse is necessarily a racial term either. You know what I'm saying? But I can understand why LeBron would take offense to it. And it's like, just because you don't mean something to be racist doesn't mean that it's not racist. True. You know what I'm saying? And doesn't mean that you shouldn't have said it. Even Carmelo. Carmelo is like, yo, I can understand, even though we know Carmelo probably don't like Phil Jackson. He's like, hey, Knickerbockers. Right. He's like, I can understand why LeBron would take offense to that. And even he said, you know, I don't think Phil is racist, and I don't think he meant it as a racist person. I just feel like he might be out of touch, and I feel like he might not respect what these guys have done from the time LeBron came into the league straight out of high school until now, and the empire that they've built together.
See, and therein lies, and that is why a LeBron or someone else, and I'm on the fence about this. I know you're supposed to pick a strong, you know, strong stance, but I'm on the fence too about this. But like you just said, you think that Phil was just being dismissive of a bunch of young kids who have done what they've done and have been as successful as they are. But as successful as they've been over the 12-year LeBron NBA career, mm-hmm. not just on the court, his endorsements, his mm-hmm. philanthropy,
yeah.
how could you deny that? Like, what about that group of people makes you still able to willfully, in public, in the media, deny
well,
that?
Well, Phil does has never been supportive of LeBron, though. If you really think about
okay.
it, he really, I don't know if he really likes LeBron. And it's crazy because he talks about LeBron getting, you know, like preferential treatment or stuff like that. And it's like, bro, you coach
the subject was
Michael Jordan.
Yes, the biggest
and Kobe Bryant. And you're not going to tell me they didn't get special treatment. You're not going to tell me Kobe Bryant didn't get special treatment in L.A. and Michael didn't get it in Chicago. So how could you even be mad at LeBron? And then it's crazy because if I'm not mistaken, what I've heard from my little inside sources is that the issue was Thanksgiving. The issue was LeBron's mom was going to cook Thanksgiving dinner mm-hmm. and they were going to go to Toronto after the game in Cleveland. So they said, instead of going to Toronto tonight when we don't play them until tomorrow, let's stay in Cleveland and have Thanksgiving dinner. My mom will cook for everybody mm-hmm. and we can, you know, make it a family affair. So it wasn't like they just wanted to go party or they wanted to chill with Ray Ray and them. It was like something special LeBron wanted to
Ray
do for everybody, you know, as a team leader and as somebody who wanted to build that camaraderie with his brothers on the team. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy now it's coming back seeming like he was just being like a prima donna.
LeBron could have said that. He had the opportunity to say that and clarify it. And I think a lot of people would then have maybe changed their opinion about it if you brought up the whole Thanksgiving thing. But what I think Phil Jackson is saying, because in Phil Jackson's NBA, which started in the 70s, 80s, mm-hmm. 90s, you know, a player did not hold up a whole team.
Yeah.
You're a player on this team, and you don't have any preferential sway or any kind of control over the team. You're a part of this team, and you're going to leave with us and travel with us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to give you and your posse that, you know, that preferential treatment. We're not going to do it. Or you and your crew.
Yeah.
And I think we can interject either word, crew or posse, and I don't think it has any racial tone from Phil Jackson's mouth.
J-Rob, you're itching to say something.
The one thing about Phil Jackson that no one's really talked about is that Phil, in general, is just a condescending person. You ever hear him talk about the game of basketball?
Yeah.
I mean, he's very condescending. He thinks he's a god in NBA history. I mean, I guess you can technically say he is, but he knows it at least.
Yeah.
And the way he talks about basketball is very condescending. And I think that's just part of his personality. I'm not sure if it's racial, but I will say that when the word posse is used, it's not really used to describe a group of young white men.
Yeah.
It is used to describe young African Americans. And I don't
think ethnic. It could be Latino.
Okay.
But
he definitely didn't use it in a positive term. I think he did throw a dagger.
I haven't heard
whether
the word
or not it was racial or not, though.
In
I'm not.
Like
years. This is the thing with racism too. It's very, very hard to prove.
Yeah,
they make it unless they come out and say, "I hate so."
Avert.
It was a jab.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it was a jab. It was a dig because he's saying, you know, this kid shouldn't, you know, decide where the whole team stays.
Right.
Yeah, of course. But was it racial? No.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's racial either. I think it's more Phil's personality and his condescending
and his age.
It wasn't racist.
That too.
It was racial.
I think it has racial undertones.
I think it has some racial undertones to it.
Because
like you
from
said,
Phil Jackson's mouth, you're saying
know
that he had a racial.
If he would have said J.J. Barea in his pocket.
Well, maybe J.J. Barea.
I don't know.
you brought up earlier, J.J. Redick. What do you say, J.J. Redick is posse?
Not Gordon Ray.
Well, what we said before you got here, A-Rod, I talked about how Donald Trump is hiring a lot of his own insiders. He might be hiring his son-in-law to be one of his cabinet, take one of his cabinet positions. Would we describe Donald Trump's cabinet of people that he's known in his non-political career as posse?
Never. Because he wants to round up all the Mexicans and the Muslims just like a posse was back in the Old West.
He wants to round them all up.
That's his posse.
But no one would say posse.
Gang.
I think posse is directly linked to the African-American community.
He wouldn't call J.J. Redick. He wouldn't refer to his crew as a posse.
Alexis, what are you going to say?
I was just going to say that the only people I ever hear using the word posse are old men.
Yeah.
Whatever they're describing are usually just a bunch of youngins who are just in causing havoc. It could be black, white, whatever. I have a Filipino grandpa and he uses it all the time and I don't think he actually knows what the hell it means. And women. Like posse. I'm going with my posse to go get our nails done. Like I've never heard, anybody that. Actually right. I have.
Okay. Somebody's gonna make a song.
Sure. But like I'm just saying now. I'm not going to say that there isn't racial undertone. I'm just thinking that Phil Jackson's an old fucking man. He's an old man, and he's just using this other term when he didn't have another term.
I agree with that. I don't think he's from the same generation as our parents. My dad watches freaking Westerns all night.
Yeah, my stepdad, who's only 48, uses posse for everything. For my brother's friends, for my friends. It doesn't even matter. Okay. You know?
I feel like we have to have a segment.
Let's squash that.
Every week. Just called Is It Racist?
I know, we should. I like that.
Big deal. Big deal or no big deal?
I say it's a big deal.
Big deal.
I say even let's say it doesn't have racial undertones, I think it's a big deal because you are dismissing and being insensitive about what this group of young men, period. I don't care what their ethnic background is. You have dismissed 12 years of hard, successful work that these men have done. They came from not the most ideal set of circumstances, and you're still dismissing it as, oh, they're just a posse. Racial or not, big deal that you dismiss that.
Yeah, I say no big deal, because if he's going to hold up our plane, that's you and your posse need to get your asses on the plane.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
I don't think it's a big deal just... I think the story's going to die in about two or three days. So that's why I say no big deal.
They don't have anything else to talk about
right now. And why are they so oversensitive about this? I mean, as you grow and get more success, people are going to hate on you from all sides if it's hate.
I don't know if they were oversensitive. It's not like, once again, it's not like LeBron was like, took a news conference and took time out and was like mad about it. Yeah. Somebody asked him a question. He was like, I don't like him no more.
Right.
Also, you don't know what type of experiences LeBron has had with that word. Maybe it brings back something.
Or you don't know what type of experiences he's had with Phil Jackson.
That's true.
That's true.
Let's talk some DraftKings real fast, and then we'll do DraftKings, and then we'll do NFL Monday Night Football in Mexico, since we're talking about posses.
Hombres.
Bad hombres. Okay, how's your fantasy football season going? I don't know. Mine is
up and down. Up and down.
I don't know how your fantasy football teams are doing out there, but if they're sucking like mine is sucking and like J-Rod's is sucking.
Up and down. Doesn't mean second.
Up and down. Means bad. Connotation, bad. DraftKings is for you. Let's say your starting running back has two pulled hamstrings. Let's say that your sleeper pick is still doing what? Still sleeping? Well, you go to DraftKings.com and you can actually have a new season. I guess look here. Have a new season every single week. That means you don't have to have a season-long commitment. And when your team sucks one week, you have another chance to come back the next week bigger and better than ever. DraftKings is the only destination that you should be going to for 1 week fantasy football. Just pick your contest, draft your team, follow the action live every single week. How do you do it? You go to DraftKings.com right now, this very second. Do not wait. Don't hesitate. And use the code BSports as in, I don't know.
Black?
As in black. Use the code BSports as in black and you can play for free with your very first deposit. So this has to be your first time. That's how you get to play for free. That's the code BSports. Play for free. DraftKings.com. Tell them we sent you and you send us a chip when you win some money. Okay.
And shout out James Harden for getting me 26 points, 14 assists, and 12 rebounds on my DraftKings lineup tonight.
What? Oh, yeah. You got to pay James Harden all day, every day.
Nice. NFL Monday Night Football in Mexico.
Mexico's
winning.
Well, next week.
Next week.
Oh, Thursday Night Football. I don't know who's winning that
Thursday
game.
Thursday night, that's the... Panthers were up at halftime last month. I'll check right now.
Does anybody care? I don't.
Fantasy football. 23-6, Panthers.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's good for my Panthers defense, bro.
Yeah. Brees has a couple turnovers. Oh. All right, well, Monday Night Football is in Mexico this Monday. The Raiders take on the Texans. Mm. And I want to know, do you think it's a good idea for the NFL to look into teams moving to Mexico? Should the NFL expand globally? I know they've talked about it before, but they never actually really gotten the ball rolling. So,
if they
do you think this is just
you know, would they have to pay that extra tax that Trump wants to,
to get over the wall?
To pay,
they're not going to go to Mexico. They're not going to go to China.
Would they still be American if they go to...
Well, listen, Mexico has 9 live games a week broadcasted. They have Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. They have the Red Zone channel. And on top of that, a big benefit of having games in Mexico as opposed to London, they have the same time zones.
That's true.
I thought you were going to say the food.
As a, that too.
Taco Tuesday. Taco Monday.
I would say tequila.
Right. You have a fan base in San Diego Chargers who I assume, you know, big Mexican fan base, right?
They should move to Mexico.
Right?
Now, yes.
Could the Chargers move
to Mexico?
Let's start that campaign.
And
right
the
now.
Raiders.
No, Raiders. Keep them here.
Raiders and the Chargers.
Raiders are 7 and 9.
The Mexico City Chargers.
The Mexico City.
I like that.
I like something more like the Mexico City Umbri.
Mexico City
Aztecs.
The Sombreros.
The Aztecs. I like that. I do like that.
Do you think they should move globally?
Well, I feel like the NFL should definitely go global. I mean, this is what I think about the NFL, NBA, MLB, all of that. Like, they say the world champs.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
it just be, especially in the NFL, like, it's not a lot of people from overseas. It's like, the That's world true. Champs,
we're the only ones that
what
play
world?
It.
America,
the NFL, we're the only ones that play it anyway, right? Us in Canada, and I don't think they're really going to make a move on us.
It's like, well, and then also, I feel like it would give a lot more athletes who don't make it onto NFL teams currently. Like, if they added a new NFL team and it was in Mexico, maybe, like, I see, like, people, like, starving football player outside the stadium trying to get on. Maybe he go down to Mexico, he get on.
No, because they didn't
make it for a reason. They're not good enough.
And not only that, like, if the NFL, like, they would take an expansion team, or they would take a team that already existed.
Chargers.
Yep. Or the Raiders. Or the Titans or the Texans.
The Chargers already play in Mexico.
Essentially, but let's make it official.
<San Diego. laughs>
Let's put the Chargers over that wall. Y'all go over the wall. Y'all can just climb it with your bare hands and not ever come back.
Do you think that can be feasible, though? There's a team in Mexico, there's a team in London, and, you know, how would players react to that?
I don't think a team in London would work because of the time difference. Like,
okay.
when we have the London games, we have to wake up in California,
like
West Coast, at six to watch these games. So, no. But Mexico, yes. I like the Mexico idea.
They should have a team in, like, Puerto Rico.
Ooh. I mean, who's going to go except the people in Mexico, right? And then we would have to get a passport to go.
But, I mean, who would go to a Cardinals game except for the people in Phoenix? Like,
I mean,
it's
but
the same thing.
I thought you were talking about the same
thing. The obstacles aren't the same, though. It's not international. I mean, there's a couple obstacles.
If I wanted to go to...
Who would go to a Brooklyn Nets game except for people in Brooklyn?
Right.
People in Brooklyn.
If the viewership there, I'm sure the NFL would consider if the viewership were there, if dollars were there to support the team.
Yeah.
I'm sure they would consider it. But as far as Mexico and the rest of the world, soccer, football is the real football.
Yeah,
so that's not going anywhere.
True. But like I said, I mean, the ratings are up in Mexico. The ratings are down here in the United States. It kind of
that's
makes
because
sense.
San Diego, let him go.
I think that's, I don't know, the NFL is getting soft, man. I think like people like my grandfather don't want to watch it. He used
right.
to people like leaving out with their teeth missing.
Right.
So like,
and like the fingers broken
yeah.
and still playing with a broken arm.
Yeah.
We,
so
we don't have that
I think
anymore.
People don't want to watch that no more. It's like, oh, man. It's like
soft.
Touch.
Yeah.
Two-man
right,
touch.
Flag. No fun league.
Can't the NFL's just been toying with this idea for like a decade now, and they haven't done anything.
Do it, NFL. NFL move a team to Mexico.
Do
let
it.
Me tell you.
Okay, so how about for other sports, though? We want
yes,
you know, sports to expand.
Move
to
a baseball team, move an MLB team to Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
For awesome. Sure.
Move the whole National Hockey League somewhere else.
No.
Canada.
You're not in hockey?
Take it somewhere.
Hockey is fun.
No
one's hockey.
Hockey
is fun.
Hockey is fun to watch.
Hockey is fun to watch.
I watch ESPN and
go.
They hate talking about hockey when they come out.
Exactly. Go to a game one time. You'll
and
like
now
it.
Oilers hockey Ranger highlights.
Yeah.
Right.
Rangers win 2-1.
I don't know if I want to go to a hockey game in Trump's America.
That's a good point.
It's not NASCAR.
Move NASCAR to Mexico, please.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Where is NASCAR right now? I feel like it's only in North Carolina.
North Carolina,
Dover,
Indiana,
Delaware,
Florida,
California, Arizona.
Pomona,
yeah.
California.
It's
here,
not
really.
In Dover, Delaware.
Yes, it is.
Delaware.
It's in the Dover racetrack.
Is that horses?
Look it up right now. I guarantee you there's a racetrack in Dover. Look it up.
NASCAR's everywhere except the
Northwest.
So we all agree that they should take an NFL team to Mexico. Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Why not? Let's share with our Mexican brothers and
there
sisters.
It is.
Yep. I drove by it 2 or 3 times on my way to Ocean City, Maryland.
I've never seen this. I've been all over Delaware and I've never
crab
seen this.
Crab Ocean City of the Boardwalk.
Oh, man. I need to just go there anyway just to go.
It's huge. It is huge.
I don't know how I missed that. Okay.
I don't know how you missed it either.
Real quick before we wrap and tell A-Rod that we love him so much you have to come back. Did you guys watch Tony Romo's presser this week?
I didn't watch it, no.
Didn't watch it.
Ended on a sad note.
Wait, yeah. Oh, is that sad? Are you a Cowboys fan?
I'm not a Cowboys fan, But it's so bad, you know, when you watch somebody who know they're at the end of their rope and it's like,
damn,
taking a long green mile walk.
Yeah. And you got somebody good replacing you. Yeah, doing better than what you were doing.
I don't think he's done, though. I think
he's a rookie.
I think he should seek a trade or go to another. Yeah, he's done Dallas.
Is he done? So you don't think there's any set of circumstances in Dallas? Because, look, this is Cowboys' remaining schedule. Ravens, Redskins, Vikings, Giants, Tampa Bay, Lions, Eagles. Like that's
a loss. That, the Eagles, we're going to beat them.
I don't know about that. But I mean,
they beat the Eagles already?
They beat us.
Yeah. They beat everybody except for the Giants first game.
We lost everything. We lost every game in our division so far. That's how I know we have to win.
So that's a pretty tough schedule. I mean, you never know what Kirk Cousins is going to do. Sam Bradford's up and down with the Vikings. The Giants. Ravens defense is tough. Lions, Matthew Stafford's the comeback king, and that defense sometimes steps up and shows its face.
Just Vikings you got to watch out for
So is there any set of circumstances where Dak goes on, not just Dak, but the team in general, goes on a losing streak or loses three or four games and loses its footing as top team in the NFC with South, NFC East, and they say, oh, Tony Romo, you are
It would have to be, they would have to lose because of Dak.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we've seen this before, somewhat, with Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick,
There's just this young quarterback. No one really knows how to play him yet. Like, same situation with Kaepernick. No one knew how to play Kaepernick. But, you know, give it next year. Let's see how they do. Are they going to have the same steam next year? Yeah. Because teams are going to be studying tape. They're going to come back and say, okay, we know how to defend this guy. And if it goes downhill, it's going to be one of those toss-ups. Like, who do we start this week?
That's a very fair point, but I think that Dak is protected by that offensive line.
Yes. The whole line is off the chain.
Which is ridiculous. And Dak is not Colin, where Colin relies on his athleticism. He's smarter. He's calm in the pocket. He brings, like, a calming sense to the team. It's very interesting. He reads defenses very well. So I think he's the real deal.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Yeah. In Trump's America, no white quarterback wanted to stand up this week and say, I'm giving this over to the black guy.
Right.
This wasn't supposed to happen.
He's only half.
Well, there's like some he's only half as bad because he's biracial.
Wait, can you refer to him because it's the Cowboys? Can you refer to them as a posse?
Yeah.
Are the Cowboys a posse?
The Cowboys always been a posse. They have Michael Irvin.
Yeah.
Cocaine. It's always been that. But like you said, it's only half, but it's like George Bush. Texas had to give it over to the half black guy.
He did. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tony Romo giving it over to the half black guy.
Yep.
Yeah. And as soon as the half black guy mess up, the white dude who owned the team gonna be like, "Come on back,
come on
but
back."
But it won't be Tony Romo though. They won't give it back.
It'll be the NFL version of Donald Trump.
Right?
I don't know who that is.
Johnny Manziel.
Hey Rod, we've loved having you, but we got to wrap. So before we go, tell everyone again where what you're working on right now.
Okay, currently I have a song coming out with Pitbull and J-Lo on his next album. I have some stuff with LaPortia Renee. She signed to Motown, and then I'm working on my own project. It's going to be called The Magic Show, and it's with my band, Av Da Vinci. You can check our stuff out. Like I said, Welcome to the Av is the website and all on social media, and I'm definitely grateful for being here today.
We'll have you back for sure.
We
just talked all of our time all the way up. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You're watching Sports Weekly every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. You can find me on Instagram, InstaStory, and on Twitter at Erica Renee D.
Shouts out to you and your posse for joining us tonight. My name is Joshua Johnson. Find me on social media at JJ the Talented.
I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_.
And once again, welcome to the AF. A shout out Reggie Reg and Dre and Nat and Ariana
and Ariana.
Everyone else for watching. I told you I had my shout outs, my mama.
Hey, Mom.
Dee Dee and everybody.
What's up, New Jersey? As always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow Black Hollywood Live on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. And until next week, my posse on Broadway.
We out.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.